Remembrance is the secret of redemption. How many of you like to eat? At once in a while, at least once or twice a day. This world that we live in is full of TV shows that are totally devoted to food and its preparation. My mama loves the Food Channel. She just loves to watch them. And she likes these people that are in competitions to cook. And then she likes the guy that runs around and does diners, drive-ins, and dives. She likes to see stuff all over. It's just something to do. It's entertaining. But it is a business, a huge business. The Food Network is such a huge business in the United States and many other countries. A good meal is just an experience. The food, the flavors, the aromas, the textures, all carefully chosen by a chef to tell a story for the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. So we put a lot of stock in these things. But there is more than the food in any good meal. There is ritual and there is story. There is intimacy, often not found in other settings. Meals are important parts of life. Meals have a place of importance beyond the nourishment that they provide for us. And anyone who has ever been around church for any period of time knows that eating together is an important part of a Christian community's life. In part, this is true because meals were important to Jesus. He ate with sinners, he shared table fellowship with his disciples, and he established a meal as one of the central and defining acts of what it meant to be counted among his friends. Likewise, at the heart of the lives of Jesus' ancestors was also a meal that we just talked about. For centuries before him and continuing today, Jesus' own people were shaped and defined by the Passover meal. You see, the Passover Seder is still a central and defining practice in the Jewish community. Perhaps this is partly why meals were important to Jesus, so central to the life of the early church. He was shaped by a very important meal. You see, God called Moses to lead the people to freedom from slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land. There they would worship and serve the Lord their God. The people were to hurriedly prepare and eat a holy meal prior to their liberation. This meal would become the most central and most important festival within the life of Israel. It's Passover. From that day forward, the people were together to eat and drink in celebration and remembrance of what God had done. And they were reminded of who they were called to be and to what it meant to live as the people of God. Who has God called you to be? Yet this was no ordinary meal. Roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. All of it eaten hurriedly. It was the chosen lamb, the young lamb, a year old, a male. Bitter herbs to remind them of the bitterness and the gall of their life. Unleavened bread made in hurry. It didn't have any leavening agent in it, so it didn't rise. It was just flat. You ever remember when your mama was making a cake as a child growing up? Some of you might not even know that mama made a cake. But anyway, mine did all the time. And she'd say, "Do not run in this house. Do not slam that door." Guess what happens when cakes are in and they're rising? What happens if something jars the place? That cake will fall. And mama's not happy. But her children were, because we liked it with that little bit of raw in the middle of it. We were just weird. But anyway, she didn't like it. She'd say, "Do not do it." But unleavened bread didn't have that age in it, so it would flatten. Now, some things are not that grand. If you've ever had unleavened bread all the time, it's not something that you really want to eat every day. It didn't have a whole lot to it. You ate it hurriedly. And you ate it with your sandals on. And you ate ready to bolt out the door at any given moment. You ate it prepared to leave, to run, to hurry. This was no ordinary meal. Eaten in the homes with blood smeared on the doorposts in the darkness of the night, anticipating what God might do. This was a symbolic redemptive meal. It would define and shape God's people and serve as a reminder of their enslavement, of all that God had done on their behalf. That's what this meal represented to them. And of the life that they were called to be as people of promise. He said, "You are my children. Children of promise." This was no ordinary meal. This was worship ritual. In observing Israel at the Passover table, we learn that worship, that ritual, and table fellowship have the power to shape us, to define us, to tell us who we are and how we should live and be. You see, worship helps us remember and become again the people that God intended us to be. It was likely the Passover meal that Jesus shared with His disciples on the night before His crucifixion and death. He gathered them around a table. They ate roasted lamb and bitter herbs, and they drank from a cup of blessing, and they remembered together the story of God's redeeming, liberating work of love. Because they had been told that story. That was their history. That was their tradition. They had been told that story, how God had brought them out of Egypt land and brought them over to the promised land. How He had been with them, how He had followed them for the 40 years, day and night. How He provided manna for them. How they were in a hurry. How they had to do all these things. They had been told that story their whole life, and here they were on the eve of their Savior's death and not knowing. They were again hearing this story. They remembered how death passed over the houses of their ancestors. How they were led to freedom through the sea. How they were set free to serve and worship the Lord their God. You see, Jesus offered them bread and wine, but even more, Jesus offered them Himself, the Lamb of God, given that all people might share in the Exodus, that all of us might become a part of what God had done by bringing His children out of Egypt. In being set free from the oppressive power of sin and death, at a table, sharing a meal with Jesus, we become a Passover people. You see, like the Jews, Christians are a people of the table. We are the people of a table and of a meal. In the breaking of the bread, we remember what God has done in Christ to liberate us from sin and death. Our fellowship at the Lord's table is a sacrament. It's a means of grace, a point of encounter with the living God, and an invitation to share in God's ongoing work of salvation. In the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, we share in Christ's life and are reminded that we too are a community of the Exodus, set free to worship and serve the Lord our God. You see, like Israel at Passover, our remembering and our eating are more than just memorials. They are ways of experiencing now the saving power of a past event. In the bread and the cup and the fellowship that we share at the table, Jesus is truly present and offers again His body and His blood. Food for the journey. Take and eat, He says. Remember what God has done for you, is doing for you now, will do for you in the future. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. Remember who you are. Remember and don't forget, so that you may serve the Lord your God with glad and generous hearts. Remember me, Jesus said, when you get this bread and drink this cup, when you take and eat, when you receive that which I have given you, remember me and don't forget. Remember that you once were slaves to sin and death, living in exile. But by the grace of God, you have been bought by a price, marked by the sacrificial blood of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are liberated to be. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And of course, this remembering takes us beyond the Eucharist table, beyond the remembrance table, beyond the altar table. It takes us beyond this place, God's table. As it is with Israel at Passover, the table is only the beginning. That's just a starting point. How different might our lives look if we were a people defined by our fellowship at the table where we remember? What might it mean for our lives if each moment our hearts and minds resonated with the realization that all we do and say is in remembrance of the Passover Lamb? Wow, wouldn't it be great if that's what we remembered? If that's how we lived our lives? We wouldn't have a whole lot of trouble in our world. But we're so human. We make so many mistakes. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The good news is God has never forgotten you or me. Not even once. God has not forgotten you or me, not even once. Now, you and I forget things. We forget when friends' birthdays are, and we let them pass, and we think, I should have sent a card. And then we send one late and say, we're sorry. Or we don't do nothing at all. Or we think about going to visit somebody, and we say, I'm a-going. I'm coming and bringing so-and-so, and but we let it slip by. Well, that person is still waiting because that person can't get out and go nowhere. But yet we are humbled once in a while. We forget because we're human, but you know God doesn't forget. Not even once. He's not forgotten us. We have great intentions of doing things, but we don't always do it, do we? We have great intentions of serving others, but we don't always do it. Because we're human and we forget. That's one of our frailties. And sometimes people attack us for it. Sometimes people nail us to the cross for it because we're human. They tell us that we shouldn't behave that way. They tell us that we should be better than that because we are who we are. But sometimes we just forget. How good it is to know that we are remembered. When we eat together, may God grant us the grace of a good memory, so that we might never forget what God has done for us, so that we might never forget who we are and who we are called to be. You see, the table has been set and a meal has been prepared. It's time to eat. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Allow us your grace and your mercy in this moment. Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds for that which is at hand, to come, take, eat, to come and receive, to come and be blessed, to come, Lord. Remind us of that this day, for it is in your name I pray. Amen.